you're just coming off National Children's Grief Awareness Day, the headlines in the news this month gives us pause to think about how our young people process grief. A mother of four killed on a crash on the Big Island, and here on Oahu, a 16-year-old intruder is shot by a Kalihi homeowner. Brooke Brown started a support group on Maui after her daughter, Emilia, died after a long illness, leaving behind a 3-year-old son. Brown talks about the origins of Children's Grief Awareness Day.
It started about 7 years ago, 8 years ago, back east. A group of kids wanted to start something because they felt so alone dealing with their grief, and they found that talking to each other really helped. And so they began this to just try to call attention to it. And one of the organizations that deserves a lot of credit that sprang into being along the way, New York Life Insurance, has made it their children's bereavement their signature philanthropy. And they've done a lot to promote the awareness of children's grief. And the Dougie Center, I believe, was the first group in the country. And they're about 35 years old. They're in Portland, Oregon. And they've been around, and I suspect we're working with those kids initially. And we've used them as a model for our group, as has Kids Hurt Too on Oahu, Kids Hurt Too Hawaii. And the Dougie Center really is the gold standard in the field.
So what is it we need to know about how children process grief?
I think that it's really important to realize that children's brains develop over time. So that grief for a 3-year-old is very different from grief for a 13-year-old or a 17-year-old. Their brains are developing all along the way, and so they can only understand death at certain levels. A 3-year-old, a 4-year-old does not have this death as permanent in their brain, so they're not going to understand that. And when they get a little older and they have the concept of permanence, it comes up again for them with different questions. And many times, kids might seem fine, and then suddenly something triggers it. You know, maybe it's the first father-daughter dance, or the mother-son dance, or the child, dad was always going to be the one to teach them to drive a car, and suddenly they can get their permit. And all of a sudden, the grief just comes up, and they don't know what's happening necessarily, but they can start acting out, being depressed, having a lot of symptoms. And in fact, it's the grief that's surfacing. And so what's really important is for people to recognize how important it is to deal with it. And by deal with it, I mean talk about it. Talk about how kids are feeling. Not use euphemisms. We really stress that. When you tell a young child, oh, you know, mom went to sleep and died, I mean, that's a recipe for sleep disorders. And you don't want to say they passed or they went away, because the little kids are very literal. It doesn't compute with death to them. So it's like, use the word death. It takes the power out of it. Use the word die. Because one of the things that teens will tell you, adults will tell you when they had a death when they were young, they feel so alone in their grief. Most of their friends don't know what to say to them, because it's an uncomfortable thing. Adults don't want to talk about it. Many times the kids will say, I can't talk to my mom about my dad because they were divorced and my mom hated my dad. Or I hear my mom crying every night, so I don't want to make her sadder. So the kids will put on a happy face, whereas in fact they really need to talk about what they're going through. And with this happy face, sometimes parents don't want to bring up the person who died because they're afraid they're going to upset the balance. And it's not about forcing them. It's just to open the door so that they know, yeah, they can talk about the death or a problem they're having.
And oftentimes when there's a death, let's say, that involves a young person, many times the school will say, hey, we can provide counseling.
There is a huge need in the schools, and most school counselors have not been trained in children's grief, nor have the teachers. And a study was done several years ago, and something like 70% of teachers have a grieving student in their classroom at any time, and only 51% of school counselors have had in training in it. That's not going to go a long way. And I can give you firsthand examples of teens. I'm thinking of one young man who was an AP student. He was lined up to go to school in the East, great grades, the whole thing. And he experienced two deaths parental deaths within a very short period of time, relatively speaking, a couple of years. And after the last one, his grades tanked. When you're depressed, it's very difficult to focus. And his surviving parent would go to the school and beg for extensions for this child and special accommodations. And the teachers didn't cut him any slack, so his grades dropped. The trajectory changed at this point in time. And sadly, it's not uncommon. And we've had a very difficult time getting on board in schools because I think one of the attitudes is, you know, kids are resilient. And it's true, kids are resilient, but they're not resilient in a vacuum. They need the support around them. So where we've had great success is when we have both the administrators and at least one counselor who's on board who really gets the importance, because we need a point person in the school because they coordinate what room we can use, what period we can go, and the kids come voluntarily. They really value the group. One of my facilitators said that she ran into one of these teens during the summer, and all the teen could talk about was, are you going to come back? When are you going to start? How soon can we start with group? Because they form this little community. And I'm thinking last year we were at Kamehameha. We were both the elementary, middle school, and high school. And, you know, the classes there are relatively small. And we were getting feedback at the last group of one of the high school groups. And one of the young fellows said, this has been wonderful because I know everybody here, but I didn't know his uncle died, or I didn't know his father died, you know, because they don't talk about it, you know, among themselves. So suddenly having this community, small community on campus, they know who they can talk about their person with. And that's what we're trying to promote. Just give them places where they can talk about it. And, you know, it's their peers that they listen to. It's not us. We're the adults. You know, and we don't have the answers. They're the experts on the experience they're having. I started this several months after the death of my daughter, Amalia. And she died when her son, my grandchild, was a few days older, just had his third birthday. And she died of colorectal cancer and had fought this for a year and a half. And near the end, we saw the end, you know, with a very strong possibility, unless a miracle came along. And her son, as I say, was just under three, but there was a wonderful fable that we started reading to him about mudbugs and dragonflies or something like this. It's really wonderful. And so we just tried to start preparing him for this. When you have a death coming, you know, somebody with a terminal diagnosis, you can involve the children, the young ones, in this. They get used to seeing the person in bed, and they can talk about it, and the family can talk about it, if the family will. Again, that's always a variable. But on some level, the child is anticipating that it's getting worse. So there's an absoluteness that happens with the death, which is hard no matter what. But it's not a shock. Whereas with a sudden death, particularly one that's violent, like a suicide or a car accident or a shooting or a stabbing, this is horrific. It's a shock, and they're also very traumatic, violent images that the child imagines. And that just adds to the complexity. Yeah. Right now on Maui, the estimate is Maui County, there are 2,200 kids under 18 who've had a parent or sibling die. It's huge.
That was Brooke Brown of Nakiki o Amelia. For links to the group and Kids Hurt to Hawaii, to our website, hawaiipublicradio.org.